It's Wednesday, February 15th, 2023, and I'm Dave Sobel. Two things to know today. The Bipartisan Policy Center report identifies the top cybersecurity risks for 2023, and experts warn a lack of progress is discouraging. And the unusual job market trends. Pandemic layoffs had better outcomes. Inflation and unemployment relationship is reversed. This is the Business of Tech. A new report from the Bipartisan Policy Center looks to understand the top cybersecurity risks facing individuals, companies, and governments in 2023. The report identified 8 macro risks likely to represent the biggest threats in cyberspace this year, including an evolving geopolitical environment, a global cyber arms race, vulnerable critical infrastructure, a lack of needed investments in cyber preparedness, regulatory uncertainty, a shortage of cyber talent, insufficient corporate governance, and economic uncertainty. I wanted to highlight this passage from the coverage in NextGov's. Jamil Farishi, Executive Vice President and Chief Information Security Officer at Equifax, said that, quote, roughly 85% of the things that are on the report aren't novel, such as ongoing risk to critical infrastructure and lagging governance concerns, but added that the inability to rectify these issues remains a constant source of concern for the public and private sectors. Quote, the most surprising thing to me is that a lot of the risks we've highlighted here are the same risks that I think could have been on this list had we done it 5 years ago, or maybe even 10 years ago, he said. And so in some ways, it's predictable somewhat. But in other ways, it's discouraging because we as a community, we as a country, have not advanced the ball effectively enough to be able to mitigate or even draw down some of the risks that we've highlighted. It's not the only warning about underestimating cyber threats. Mandiant found the same thing about organizations and their understanding of potential attackers. The survey found that 67% of cybersecurity decision makers believe their leadership teams underestimate cyber threats posed to their organizations. Only 53% said they could prove to their leadership team that their organization, quote, has a highly effective cybersecurity program. That said, 91% said they had confidence in their organization's preparedness to defend against financially motivated attacks like ransomware. In other research from Avanan, phishing actors are using GeoTargetly, a tool deployed by businesses to customize advertising based on a recipient's location. The key element? The phishing email is correctly localized to the language, and the content will be relevant to the victim's region, including the appearance of the local government. An update to CISA's investment in state and local cybersecurity? The agency is reporting that the new funds are now making their way to the state offices. All but 2 of the 56 states and territories eligible for the program have applied. Florida and South Dakota did not. Any money that might have gone to those states will be redistributed evenly across the states and territories that are participating. Rather than make this all gloom and doom, there's some good news. It's gotten a lot easier for hackers to report bugs. Austin Hackers Anonymous, or AHA, has joined the CVE reporting program as the first unorganized hacker collective in the country to be a CAN. This gives anyone who presents at one of the group's meetings a clear way to register, report, and publish the vulnerabilities they uncover. Why do we care? On the back end, we are getting better at managing cyber. Government funds are moving into place, and systems to allow the good guys to coordinate better are now moving into place as well. We're failing to rally those not in the industry to the cause effectively. We know what to do, we just aren't doing it. Now, I don't have the answer, but I hope we start asking better questions. If you suppose the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, well, in that case, the same security answers don't create the change we want. What can we do differently? Those that answer this are going to find a new and optimal path. Two bits of analysis around the jobs market that I wanted to cover. Both are from Axios. First, new research from Cleveland Fed shows that the millions laid off during the pandemic had vastly better outcomes than workers fired in the aftermath of the prior 3 recessions since 1990. After those downturns, workers on average experience earnings losses of about 20% within the 3 years after their displacement, twice as large as that experienced by fired employees during the economic expansions. But those fired during the pandemic recession on average experienced virtually no wage losses at all. In fact, quote, workers displaced from their jobs in 2020 who were reemployed by January 2022 had no statistically significant change in their earnings by January 2022, the researchers wrote. They found that neither generous pandemic-era jobless benefits nor the composition of fired workers were likely explanations for why workers fared notably better. Instead, it was the collective effect of, quote, the sharp recovery in labor market tightness that explains why, in aggregate, workers were able to make up lost pay and get better jobs, unlike past recessions. And second, quote, a central idea at the core of mainstream economic models is that inflationary pressure goes up when the unemployment rate goes down. The opposite has happened over the last year, creating a core mystery about the job market. The recent combination of low and falling unemployment with falling wage inflation is a dream scenario in practice, but it isn't supposed to work that way in theory. In effect, the Phillips curve, the relationship between the unemployment rate and inflation, is, for the moment at least, upside down. If the pattern continues, it would allow inflation to continue moderating even as the job market remains robust. Why do we care? We're getting some insights into why conditions are different than previous the more it's studied, and I'm inclined to offer that this may be a better year than predictors, myself included, thought it would be. Let's note that a tight labor market is a good sign for the robustness of SMB clients, yet also a limiting factor on growth. It's a good problem to have versus unemployment, of course, but proceed with awareness. Every client needs cyber protection, but that doesn't mean service providers have to deploy a jumbled patchwork of solutions to get it done. Modern protection starts with Acronis Cyber Protect Cloud. Acronis combines backup, anti-malware, endpoint protection, management, and robust ransomware defense all from a single console. That's why successful MSPs use Acronis to generate more recurring revenue and reduce churn. It's easy to get started at acronis.com. Thanks for listening. Today, National I Want Butterscotch Day. Do we need to say anything more than that? I will talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage. Part of the MSP Radio Network.